Well, thank you. It's really an honor and a privilege to be here. And, I'm so new to the Sangha that I really don't have a whole lot planned for this first week. I thought it would kind of play a little bit and see what feels good and maybe what doesn't feel good. But like Jill said, I have these kind of twin passions and training in both the Dharma and then in what Joanna Macy calls the work that reconnects. Is anyone out here familiar with Joanna Macy and her work? Yeah. So it's really powerful. I find it very powerful. And really, she's an activist, a scholar, engaged Buddhist practitioner who for many years has been really confronting what it means to live in a time where there is so much suffering on so many different levels. We have many, many, many people living in poverty, living in war zones, living in refugee camps. We have many creatures whose homes are being destroyed, a lot of natural and social and all sorts of resources kind of eroding before our eyes and very rapidly. And so really her work has been around, how do we hold that? How do we hold being in and living in a time where there's so much suffering in a way that doesn't shut our hearts down and doesn't shut down our ability to respond and engage and be fully part of the world we're living in. And then there's the Dharma, which also teaches us, how is it that we accept each moment fully, exactly as it is, without running away or resisting what is uncomfortable in that moment. So being able to live really fully in our lives. And the way that I see that in terms of the environmental work that I do is that when we are here fully with whatever difficult emotional or very pleasant emotional experience we're having, it makes us more fully whole, and it gives us the capacity to see what power there is here to actually engage and be effective and move on. So I have a few kind of practices that I thought we could do together. I also wanted to just begin by sharing a story, because I just received this email from my friend this morning, and she is an activist in Appalachia. She's been there for the last 7 or 8 years protesting the mountaintop removal happening in Appalachia. And every couple months she'll send another email out to all of her friends describing what she's been up to. And I read it this morning and I thought, oh, I have to share this with the group tonight. So I'll just read part of it because it's pretty long. She says, groups of people are mobilizing in cities and towns throughout America and holding general assemblies to discuss their relationship to living in these times of global crisis under the banner that we are the 99%. Why? One reason I understand is a deep and vast need to connect, to be heard, to hear and break through the alienation and pervasive suffering permeating the times. The slogan, I am the 99%, follows up with, and so are you. There are people all over America posting photos on blogs, through news channels and Facebook, with a shorthand written story of their situation followed by, I am the 99%. For example, and this is her speaking, I began working when I was 13 years old and made $6.50 an hour plus tips in 1992. Now, after 4 years of college, 2 years in a monastery, and 3 years in grad school, I'm underemployed through a nonprofit I run, was paid $8 an hour as a barista last year, and struggled to make ends meet. I'm not sure I can ever have children, since I don't know how I would support them. I am the 99%. How are you part of the 99%? I'm not sure there is actually anyone out of that 99%. Wealthy, poor, middle class, the radiation from Fukushima is everywhere, the water from Appalachia feeds half of the population of the U.S., and the decisions that have created the system now collapsing throughout the globe don't seem to be exactly in anyone's control. I know there are many conditions that have created the present situation, the student debt and unemployment, the massive deployments and lack of affordable health care, and still I am not in the business of pinpointing any exact cause, because it seems a lot more like themes brought about by systemic greed, hatred, and delusion to me. I love that these protests did not begin with demands or lists of objectives, something the mainstream media is deriding and dismissing it for. There is brilliance to opening up a space which says, things aren't right in my life, how about yours? What needs are not being met? What are the themes? What are the causes? There is a reason the occupations began on Wall Street in New York City, and a reason why rather than all flock there, we are standing up in our towns across the country to say the same thing. Let's have a conversation. What is it like for you being alive in this time of global crisis? These conversations, general assemblies, open forums, seem to me to be an expression of active hope, a thread slowly sewing itself through the frayed seams of our society which says, wait a minute, I am not alone. You are suffering too. Whoa, your story has similar roots as mine with a different storyline. So she keeps on going from there. But I wanted to read that because it does speak, to both of those paths of the Dharma and also this work, which really opens up, how it is that we experience greed, aversion, delusion, loss, all of these experiences that as individuals, we're constantly having, and that is a way of our hearts being opened, that we understand that that's something that is not just me and mine, that it's a story with different storylines. So what Joanna Macy does with her work that reconnects, and some of you might be familiar with this from working with her, if you've worked with her, read her books, but she has what looks like a spiral. And she starts with coming from gratitude. So really, when we're looking at, what's really difficult in living in the world at this time, rather than kind of going right into that, she actually has us back up and really acknowledge that there's absolutely phenomenal, beautiful things about being here too. So really coming from this place of gratitude, and then from there, honoring our pain for the world. And really getting a sense of, what it is that we're coping with, that we're experiencing is as an interconnected web of beings. And then from there, there's a way of being with that experience and that it gives us power, that it gives us wholeness, a way of really acting in the world, and that is seeing with new eyes. And from there, we move into going forth. So how is it that we're moved to participate in this world? So what I was actually thinking is that when I was considering these 4-week sessions a while back, I thought, well, for week one, we'll do gratitude, and week two, we'll honor our pain for the world. But I understand that not everyone's going to come all 4 times, and that wouldn't really be realistic. So I have a few exercises, one kind of for each of those places around the spiral, and I don't actually think we'll even have a chance to do all of those, but I thought that we could at least start with gratitude this evening. And so what I would ask is that everyone divide into pairs, and then I'll give a couple of open-ended sentences, and just give you a few minutes to complete those sentences for one another. And, so the first one I'll just give you a sneak preview is, things I love about the world include. And And so, you know, to keep, I'll give maybe 2 minutes for each side, and to just keep saying, you know, things I love about the world include this. Things I love about the world include, so to keep going with that beginning of the sentence. And then I'll ring the bell, and then the other person will share, and their partner will listen. And I just encourage you to really feel into the joy in that, you know, because there's joy in living in this world, and to listen with that same kind of open attention as well. So that's what we'll start with. So I invite you to find a partner. Okay. All right, well, I have one more, but we don't have time for it.
Oh.
You have to come next week.
That's good.
But I'd love to hear how that was for you, if any of you were moved, surprised, you know, found something useful in that exercise. I'd love to hear it.
I loved starting with gratitude. I thought it was really important because in the midst of suffering, whether it's your own personal suffering or the suffering of the world, I think that gratitude is what makes you capable of holding more. Mm-hmm. Gratitude opens your heart, and that's really what we're trying to do in the midst of great difficulty. So I like that a lot, and it was kind of like the step back that you were talking about, too, for me.
Hmm.
In the second topic, which got really painful, talking about things in the world that concern me, both my partner and I found that it really boils down to all these different embodiments of greed, hatred, and delusion that in so many parts of the world are just being extremely destructive and creating a lot of suffering.
Yeah, and I think that something about exploring the nature or the quality of those in our own hearts, you know, at least for me, allows me to kind of widen my lens or my understanding of it when I see it manifesting in the world, too. Yeah.
It was wonderful doing the gratitude and just kind of really getting that refresher course. I'm like, oh, there's so much to love in the world. And then it was, like you said, afterwards you could feel like this joy in the room. And then afterwards, the next one, the like, ugh. But it was really nice to see that juxtaposition with that, you know, how much what we think and what we dwell on, how that affects us, and that we do have some choice there about how we direct our minds.
Yeah, I don't know who wants to go first. You two both sitting had your hands up. You can choose.
Isabel and Lila.
Okay.
I really specifically enjoy the perspective because I love the way Joanna Macy's just forces us to look ahead, that seventh generation kind of perspective of it's not just for us and just, you know, for this, but it's just what we're doing has such long consequences. And that really inspires me and gives me hope. Because I may not see it, but they will.
That's beautiful. Thanks.
I really like the way you framed the second one, that concern that I have for our world. And I really like the word our in there. And it just, I don't know, it did something. That was a holding, you know, and so for me, when I could feel into the hour of everybody, not just me or people like me, or
thanks. Couple more?
I have a question. question. I was just, when I came here and I was listening to what you were reading, and we've been seeing this 99% everywhere, mm-hmm. and it just dawned on me, sitting here, it's really 100%. Mm-hmm. Because then, you know, it's the 99 against the one, and us versus them, mm-hmm. and then we just continue that struggle.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what she wrote in her email too. You know, we're all the 99%, like that we are. It's the 100%.
Right.
We're all in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think that for me, that's where this work really comes together: is recognizing how interconnected, how we are all mm-hmm. the 100% that's carrying this, that's holding this, experiencing this. Yeah, yeah.
I enjoy just hearing my partner, just, you know, and learning what she was concerned about and so forth. And I love to be able to express myself as well. Mm. So that interaction I thought was dear.
Oh, good. Well, thank you for participating in this. Practice, and can I dedicate the mirror before we do the announcements?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we'll just close and find a comfortable position. And just coming in touch with our hearts and wishing wellness to those of us in the room who so dearly want happiness for themselves and for all beings, and then for all of our loved ones and all of our loved ones' loved ones, and extending to all beings who want nothing more than to be happy, that all beings everywhere be safe, be free, be truly at peace. May this work benefit all beings.